If you appreciate Issues Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to spend the remainder of today's program going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address is always available to anyone who wants to communicate with us. Criticism, show, suggestion, a question on something you heard a guest say, or you thought you might have heard the guest say, if you want to agree or disagree, talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Same thing goes for the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382.
Pastor Wilkin, before we begin with email, not very often during my 5 decades of earthly existence have I been excited about voting for a political candidate. Ronald Reagan, 1984, and yesterday, our own Julie Johnson, accountant extraordinaire, ran and won Board of Trustees at Lewis and Clark Community College in Godfrey, Illinois. Congratulations to Julie on a great campaign.
And her daughter, Johanna, just announced today that they're expecting their second child, making that the second grandchild for Julie. It must be a happy day for her.
So, Julie, we're all proud of you. Just because you're on the Board of Trustees at Lewis and Clark Community College doesn't mean you get a pay raise here at Lutheran Public Radio. But I was really excited about that.
Yeah.
And she's one of our own.
I don't know any of the details. I just heard you guys yammering about it the other day that there was something that somebody had a bee in their bonnet. She was ready to go take care of it. So,
yeah, it covers like 5 counties in Illinois, and I'm just elated. But speaking of Reagan in 84, when I was at the University of Missouri Columbia School of Journalism, I think it was like 78% he won.
The students?
The students.
Oh, that's insane.
Yes. Don't quote me on it. I'll have to do some research. It was like hip to be a Reaganite.
But that was 35 plus years ago, wasn't it?
A long time ago.
Yeah.
A lot has changed in that.
Yeah. I bet you if you polled them today, first of all, half the students wouldn't even know who Ronald Reagan was. And if they saw a picture of him, they'd probably think he was some sort of Soviet leader. Mix him up with Gorbachev or something like that. There's no way Ronald Reagan's getting 70%+ of the student body at Mizzou anymore.
And definitely not President Trump.
Oh, no.
All right. Email, shall we?
Yeah, sure.
Tim writes, Mr. Mattingly, he's talking about Terry Mattingly, obviously does not like the conservative movement in the United States as it is currently constituted, and he has that right. But I think that you would find a lot of listeners, including me, find that his bias does not ring true. I just don't think that the fact that conservative people are expressing frustration about the lack of coverage about massacres of Christians has to do with the messenger, for example, Trump or Pence. It is the current liberal/progressive movement that hates Christians and will do anything they can to undermine Christian influence. It doesn't matter who is in charge. They hate us. I think Mr. Mattingly's opinion gives rise from his obvious loathing of President Trump and, by extension, those who support him. I experienced this bias in dealings with friends and family members who are Christian but loathe President Trump. He's our president. Whether or not we like him on a personal basis, and if he comes out promoting values that are in sync with Christian values, I am happy. I want to mention that I do find Mr. Mattingly's opinions interesting and efficacious at times, but I have noticed his bias in other podcasts I listen to on LPR. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the feedback, Tim.
I don't think Terry would take issue he has made it very plain on our airwaves many times that he is kind of a card-carrying, old-school, south of the Mason-Dixon line Democrat when it comes to many issues. On the issues that matter to Christians based on Thus Saith the Lord, he is very unlike a Democrat in the sense that he is thoroughly pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-child, all of those things. So I wouldn't lump him in that way in any sense. But he's been quite honest about the fact that he's liberal in the old school version of liberal, when liberal actually meant someone who was tolerant and someone who you could disagree without them saying that you hate them. And that's my only concern about your email. And that is, look, the left and the progressives, if you disagree with them, they automatically say you hate or you fear. You either hate someone or you fear someone. You're some kind of a phobe. It's the only note they know how to play. All right. It's the one chord on the guitar that they know, and they play it as loud as they can. Let's not do that. Let's not say, just because you disagree with me, you must hate. Or if you disagree with President Trump, you must hate Trump or loathe Trump. That's not necessarily true. I think that Terry has actually, at least in our conversations, I think he's been pretty even-handed, but very honest about his opinions. I do not think that he has contempt for the conservative movement. I think what he does have perhaps contempt for is how it's been kind of hijacked by a failure to sit down and think about issues, and only emote and react and say, if you disagree with me, you must hate. Look, when both sides are doing that, both sides are saying, if we disagree, you hate me and I hate you, the conversation's over. And so to assign that kind of animus to those who may only merely disagree with you, are there people out there who truly hate Christians? Are there people out there who truly hate President Trump? Of course there are. But then there are a lot of people who say, you know, I disagree with this and that of what he's done or what kind of a person he is. I disagree with that. That doesn't necessarily mean that they hate him. For civil discourse to continue, we shouldn't be assigning the absolute worst motives to those with whom we disagree.
What I appreciate most about Terry Mattingly being a journalist is that he's an old school journalist. And by that, he is a First Amendment absolutist.
Right. Free speech.
Freedom of the press.
Freedom of the press. Freedom of religion. He's a First Amendment absolutist. And I marvel at it, Jeff. I don't know how you guys do it, how you journalist types do it. I marvel at the ability to remain objective when you have a dog in the race, personally, when you have an opinion yourself about something, to write about something in an objective way or to treat something in an objective way, that it's a discipline built into journalism, or used to be built into journalism, that takes an awful lot of self-control.
But there are times that Terry is clearly articulating his opinions.
Oh, there's times when he's just another talking head. But all of us are that way.
David writes, I am a Canadian Jewish liberal living in Toronto. I listen to your show to get a different perspective than I normally get from secular media. While I often disagree, I do find much to give me thought. For example, you have provided insights into the abortion debate that have made me rethink my views. I like listening to Terry Mattingly. Today, Todd asked him about Israel/Palestine and the Christian population there. It seemed that both of you were unaware that Israel is the one country in the Middle East where Christianity is thriving and growing, not merely from birth rates, but also from immigration, including of interest to Terry, much immigration from Orthodox Christians in Russia. It's a very nuanced subject. Perhaps you could devote an entire show to it. Thanks for listening in Toronto, Canada, David.
That's a really, really good suggestion. We write that down, Jeff. We should get some people on to talk about the situation in Israel vis-a-vis Christianity, because it's not just nuance, it's super complicated. And it's not as simple as we often hear in American politics, Israel good, Palestinians bad, which is sometimes simply the facile opinion held by Christians in the United States. They don't really think it through theologically or even politically, and they certainly don't want to know that those many of those people who are being harmed on the Palestinian side are actually Christians. We probably should have that as a conversation at some point. I don't know who we'd talk to. We have to track down a really good expert on that Middle East situation, someone who could speak with some authority about the past history and the present.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin, Craig, and Jeff. This is David from Fort Wayne, Indiana. And thank you very much for the great visit that you all had with me and my wife last week when we stepped into the studios there. Very much appreciated being with you all. I do thank you also for the interview that you did this past week with Pastor Lang about Unplanned. A group of us went out yesterday and saw it, and afterward had a good discussion about it. And Pastor Lang is right in evaluating this movie. It shows that abortion is not a private matter. It matters. The life that a woman bears matters to, of course, the immediate family, but also those that the mother knows and those the mother works with and anybody that cares about the mother and whoever she is with in her family. And our Lord cherishes life, gives us life. And the neat thing is the double entendre in Unplanned. Yes, the pregnancy may be unplanned, but Unplanned also was Abby's realization of the truth that was planned, on the other hand, by our Lord, who brought her to see the light of his life and the life that is truly born through conception and grows into, through the uterus, into outside the uterus, until death. The Lord bless you and keep you. Bye.
David, thank you very much, and thanks for that comment. Yeah, we had that conversation with Pastor Lang, and he recommended, he said he wished that he could convince everyone to go see this movie, pro-lifers to go see this movie, and especially those who consider themselves to be pro-choice to go see that movie, Unplanned. We'll have more of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line and from the Our Issues Etc. email on the other side of the break. Again, the email address, talkback@issuesetc.org.
I ain't got time to take no faster. Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
The living God is now defined by the living and risen Christ.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Do not fall away from the true God who died and rose again and lives for you.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Be strong and courageous from Joshua 1:9 is the theme for the 41st academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Day Lutheran, Escondido, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. St. Peter Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. Messiah Lutheran, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Parkland Lutheran, Tacoma, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. And Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. If you are a history buff like me, you will enjoy the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. It's about Nicholas von Amsdorf, one of Martin Luther's closest associates and one of his champions after Luther's death. He continued to fight for Luther's theology amidst a lot of controversy in Reformation circles. Find out more about Nicholas von Amsdorf, champion of Martin Luther's Reformation, at our website, issuesetc.org. Call Concordia Publishing House and order it as well. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
We definitely need to schedule an interview this month. Don't let me forget what Dr. Robert Kolb was the author of that book. Is that a yes or the cough or whatever you just did there? You don't have to take that off, Craigie.
That was just a...
I'm looking for affirmation here.
Simple acknowledgement.
Yes, proceed.
Write it down. We'll talk to Kolb.
Chris writes, my wife and I came out of the evangelical church growth movement about 2 years ago to join a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation. I had discovered confessional Lutheranism through Pastor Chris Roseborough's Fighting for the Faith, and then later Issues Etc. I've been a listener of both shows ever since. Over the last 2 years, from studying the Book of Concord, listening to Issues Etc., Worldview Everlasting, and Pastor Wolf Miller's YouTube channel, I have started to notice many things that seem out of place at our LCMS church. 1. We were never really catechized. Our church offers a two-hour class called Discover, where the pastor goes over the basic teachings of Christianity, but there was no mention of the Book of Concord, the Catechism, what makes Lutheranism distinct from other forms of Christianity. 2. Contemporary worship, blended worship, and traditional worship. The church offers all these different flavors of what they call worship. No mention of the divine service. 3. Beth Moore. 2 weeks ago, it was announced that the Quest Bible Study by Beth Moore was being offered so we could learn how to have a deeper relationship with God. 4. Our associate pastor often makes jokes during the sermon on how we are all good Lutherans by sitting quietly and not saying a word during the service. And 5, the church doesn't practice closed communion or practices a very loose form of it. So my question is, should we look elsewhere for true confessional liturgical Lutheranism? I just cannot reconcile all these contradictions that go against the confessions and historic Lutheranism. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening and thanks for the email, Chris.
Yes, you should look for another church. I'm not saying the church that you are attending now is beyond reform or repair, but at this certain point, it sounds like it's fairly well entrenched in being as little Lutheran as possible. I mean, when being Lutheran is just a kind of a Garrison Keillor joke you make during the sermon, that's pretty weak sauce, if you ask me. So the pastor will joke about us being Lutherans because we sit quietly during the service, but he won't say anything about Luther's small catechism or the Lutheran confessions in what passes for a two-hour catechesis class. They're not trying to make Lutherans or foster any kind of Lutheran theology there. That's fairly obvious. You know, there's the evidence there of Beth Moore. Probably no pastor worth his salt who knows anything about what Beth Moore actually teaches would do one of her Bible classes if he was concerned about fostering and encouraging the Lutheran confession of faith, because it's not. So yes, you need to find another church. You need to be very clear and honest with your pastor when you leave, why it is you're leaving, just that list of things. Just say, look, we thought we were getting into a Lutheran church, but we were sold a pig in a poke, as my mom used to say. And it may have said Lutheran on the sign, or it may have even had the LCMS logo on the sign, but that means nothing. It means nothing whatsoever. What makes a church Lutheran is what it believes, teaches, confesses, and practices. And it sounds like, in terms of, I don't know what the pastors or the people believe, I can't see into hearts, but teaches, confesses, and practices, three strikes. Of the four things that make a church a Lutheran church, it sounds like the congregation you're attending isn't. Now, what would be the best of all possible worlds? Two different outcomes would be the best outcomes. One would be that the pastor says, you know, you're right, I've been derelict in my duty. I did vow in my ordination vows to conduct my entire life in ministry according to both the scripture and the Lutheran confessions, and I haven't been doing it. So I'm going to start doing it. He'd have a long row to hoe to get that church back, because he's led it out into an unplowed field a long way. So he's going to have to really exert some effort to get it back on the path of Lutheranism. Or he could be honest and say, you know, this, I'm not really interested in this congregation being Lutheran. I'm not. And that's because I'm not really interested in being a Lutheran myself. It's just something I joke about during the sermon. So he could either be honest and say that he isn't a Lutheran pastor and that he is no longer interested in doing that, and that he's not interested in the congregation being Lutheran either. And then at least he's being honest. But this kind of saying we're Lutheran, having a sign outside that says we're Lutheran, but making no effort whatsoever to conduct your life and ministry according to the scripture and the Lutheran confessions, that kind of dishonesty is just unacceptable. That's your reason for leaving. You're not being honest about what this congregation really is. I don't know why it is so hard. This is just a problem that is probably common in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I don't know why it is so hard for pastors and congregations to simply be honest and say, yeah, we've been a Lutheran congregation in the past. We started as a Lutheran congregation, but we're just not interested in doing that anymore. That's not where we're going. And so we're not going to call ourselves Lutheran, and we're not even going to make any attempt to be Lutheran. What we've become is just another generic Protestant, probably quasi-Baptist, big box church. That's what we've become. That's what we want to be. And that's what we're going to be. And just drop the pretense of being or remaining Lutheran. I don't know why that's so hard. I don't know why that's so difficult. It must be because, you know, there are whole denominations like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that just cling tenaciously to this name Lutheran when they have denied in teaching, practice, and everything else, everything that it means to be Lutheran, but they cling to the name no matter what. I guess it must not be unique to Lutherans, because we've been talking about the United Methodist Church, and there are churches in the Methodist Church that are no longer interested in being Methodist either in any sense, but they don't want to give up that name. It's time to take a break. I was on my soapbox, so I wasn't paying that close attention. When we come back, some more listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line.
Write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
I'm going to talk about two big trends in American life over the last 50 or 60 years: the decline of institutional Christianity and the growing polarization of our politics.
Ross Douthat of the New York Times talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The increasingly strident division between an ideological left and an ideological right. And I'm going to argue that Christianity has weakened precisely because people have become more likely to identify with ideologies than with religious beliefs, and that a recovered Christianity, a more robust public religious faith, is actually an answer to polarization because it gives people an identity that's bigger than partisanship, so they can define themselves as Christians first and liberals or conservatives second.
You can meet and hear Ross Douthat at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The LCMS Youth Gathering is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During April, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the LCMS Youth Gathering. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This glorious good news is and always has been too good not to share. It compelled Peter, Paul, and the other apostles to the very ends of the earth, and it continues to drive Lutheran Church Missouri Synod missionaries even today. Learn more here in the April issue of The Lutheran Witness magazine. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Here's an email from Todd. Concerning the current show discussing the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, please share your thoughts on whether or not people distributing the elements should be ordained, or at least with some theological training on what the elements are representing. Thanks for the question, Todd.
Well, I think it's a general answer first, and then I'll get a little more specific. Generally, no one should be at the Lord's table to receive or to distribute unless they confess what it is the Lord's Supper is. It's inconceivable that we would place into the hands of someone who either doesn't know or denies what the Lord's Supper is, the body and blood of Christ, to distribute, much less receive. So those who distribute the sacrament, and I'm not talking about those who consecrate the sacrament, that is for the pastoral office. That is, we have just absolute rock solid confession of this in the Lutheran confessions. We simply says that no one should preach or administer the sacraments unless they are rightly called, right there in the Augsburg Confession. It's as simple as can be. They put it so simply because it was so self-evident to them that you would not be just letting anyone either administer or distribute the sacrament. So based upon that, and this is based upon the scripture where Paul says, what we're handling here is the body and blood of Christ. And the apostles initially devoted themselves to this task, not waiting tables in the sense of seeing to the distribution of the food for the poor. That was given to the deacons to do, or to those seven men of good repute in Acts chapter 2. But the apostles said, we're going to devote ourselves to prayer. And then we find out later that this is about the preaching of the word, the fellowship of the apostles, and the breaking of bread. So that's the apostles' job. Paul says, we're stewards of the mysteries of Christ. He's speaking there of the sacraments themselves. So that belongs to the pastor. Pastor only has so many hands. And sometimes the distribution, if the pastor did it alone, becomes, in a practical sense, a very lengthy process. Could we wait and allow just the pastor to distribute this? Yes, of course we could. But the pastor can ask for help. But in that sense, it needs to be something done where it is quite clear in the congregation, and this is why we've traditionally in the Lutheran Church had the office of elders. These are men who are set aside, that is, consecrated by the congregation, to do several things, among them to assist the pastor in the administration of the sacraments for that practical distribution of the elements to those who receive them. It's, and again, what we're talking about here is what we believe Christ has given us in the Lord's Supper guides us in how we handle it, guides us in everything we do, how we present it, who is given charge of the distribution, how it is distributed. What we believe Christ gives us guides us. If we believe that it is truly his body and blood there present with the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins, that this is Christ's own body and blood that we are taking and handling and receiving, then we will take and handle and receive in a very different way than if we believe it's just bread and wine. Sad to say, in a lot of congregations, we're so casual that in effect, they may still say that this is Christ's body and blood, but in effect, the message they're sending by the way they handle, the way that they administer, take, and receive Christ's body and blood, they confess something very different. Their words say one thing, their actions confess, this is just bread and wine. This is nothing other than just simple bread, simple wine, and it's just like, you know, the cafeteria where anybody can handle the food.
This comes from my good friend and fellow Board of Regents member at Concordia University, Chicago, Felix in Keller, Texas. He writes, back in December, you guys posted an encore presentation of the Incarnation in Handel's Messiah by Dr. Joseph Hurl. Out of full disclosure, I will say that this is a biased opinion about show topics, but I thought Jonathan Wessler's segment on Bach was excellent. There were many parts of that interview that caused me to think, I'd like to dig deeper in what he was referring to there. So I had the thought of going through some of Bach's cantatas summarily to how Dr. Hurl went over Handel's Messiah, and perhaps do segments of Schütz and other Lutheran composers that First Lutheran Choirs in Boston sings on a regular basis. I know Dr. Wessler personally and wish I had stayed in Boston longer to learn more about music and appreciate it the way he does. Perhaps this is something that can be done on a regular basis. Thanks for all your work. Keep up the good work, concludes Felix in Keller, Texas.
Felix, thanks. That's a great idea. In fact, I think Easter Monday, we're going to be having Dr. Hurl talk about the resurrection in Handel's Messiah and just commenting as we play some of these parts in Handel's Messiah. As to Bach and the other Lutheran composers, I think it's a fantastic idea. And probably Wessler and a couple other guys are there to do it. We used to have Robert Barrett, who is the president of the Bach Society, and he would come in and we would play long sections of Bach, and then he would comment on it, just a free-form stream of consciousness commenting. It was really brilliant stuff. But I think we have found in Wessler an equal to Dr. Barrett in his ability to talk about Bach and his music. So it's a great suggestion. Easter Monday, though, we will have Dr. Hurl on to talk about the resurrection in Handel's Messiah.
Also, during Easter week, so probably Easter Tuesday, we will be studying the Easter hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, with Pastor Will Whedon. That's one of our listeners' top 10 favorite hymns.
Yeah, and he actually is going to give us all seven verses, plus a verse that didn't make the cut into the hymnal in that study. So it's just one of the things we love to do for our listeners, because the life of the church is more than just simply its theology in words or even in actions. It's also sung and it's prayed. This is why we do Looking Forward to Sunday Morning. This is why we do hymn studies. This is why we remember people like Bach and other great musicians of the Lutheran heritage and the music that they've contributed to the life of the church.
On the subject of music, Sage writes, the excellent selection of hymnody played on Lutheran Public Radio today is much enjoyed and greatly appreciated. Thank you, writes Sage.
Anytime you want to listen, any place you are, you can listen at LutheranPublicRadio.org. You'll be hearing Lenten music until the Lenten season concludes, then Easter music. It is music that follows the course of the church here, LutheranPublicRadio.org or on the Lutheran Public Radio app. Luther Academy serves Lutheran pastors and lay people to the ends of the earth. They're doing that very thing this week by hosting a conference in Spain. Learn more about their work at lutheracademy.com and request a free newsletter from them, lutheracademy.com. Tomorrow in Issues Etc., we'll conclude our series on Lutheran living, talking with Dr. Joel Bierman about ethics centered on Christ. And it's our media coverage of religion section with syndicated columnist Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, CPSPrep.com.